We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, good morning. So much going on in the world of sports. We're going to try to get to all of it. It's kind of a special show today. We're on for 2.5 hours. We're going to start things out talking Gopher basketball. Richard Pitino is standing by. And got to hand it to you. You're going to start the Big Ten season. It's nice to pick an easy one like Ohio State.
Yeah, well, I don't pick that. You know, I pick some of these games. I know it would be surprising looking at our schedule, but some of it I have chosen. But this one was out of my hands, but a tough test.
Richard, the other night, Gabe Kalscher obviously didn't shoot the ball well against Iowa. You got a great shooter like that, and he has an off night. What's the first thing you do as a coach to make sure he knows he's still a great shooter?
You evaluate the shots that he's taking, and I think he was, 0 for 10, and I want to say 9 of them were good looks that were really, really close to going in. So you look at his technique, which is fine. You look at shot selection, which was fine, and you just say, listen, man, keep shooting. And it wasn't just him. I mean, it was everybody. 3 for 29 from the guards. It's next to impossible to win a game when your guys are shooting like that. So hopefully it was just a bit of an aberration. We move on and, hopefully get some good looks tonight.
Is Gabe getting more attention, what he did in his freshman year? Everybody's aware of what he can do when he gets hot. Is he getting, fewer open shots?
Well, I think it's all connected. You got to be able to get into the paint and create some paint touches back out, and that we're not really doing that with our guards. I think Marcus is, but Peyton is not as much. Alihan is not as much. And so in order to get some better movement, those guys got to be able to attack and get in the lane. And something we've been working on all week. And certainly when you have a good year like he has, where you make a lot of threes and you have very good shooting percentage and you end on a really good note like he did versus Louisville in the NCAA tournament, he is going to get some extra attention. And you got to make people pay for that by driving the basketball.
I only see bits and pieces of these teams leading up to games. Ohio State, I see the highlights. I don't watch them close, but they look a lot like some of the Ohio State teams we've seen in the past. They make you work, and I'd imagine they're going to be physical, and they're going to guys like Alian are going to get – they got a little bit of this against Iowa, but this Big Ten takes you to another level. But they look like they cover the court pretty well.
Yeah, they're big. They're strong. They're tough. They're physical. That's definitely something that we've seen on film and tried to harp to our guys is like the Big Ten, when you get into the meat of the schedule, it's a lot about, fouling without fouling, if that makes any sense. And they're so physical that they foul with their chest almost. And they get their hands up, and they attack the offensive glass. They've got very good length. So if it's not a physical war on both sides, then we're not going to come out on top because we have to be able to match that physicality, front court and back court.
Richard, with the team having been on the road a lot, we get to hear the color analysts, the play-by-play people, different combinations. And to a person, they have been extraordinarily high on Daniel Oturo. Couldn't say enough good things about him. But his improvement certainly hasn't gone unnoticed, and that's part of, obviously, the secret of trying to stop the Gophers. Man, he is seldom got one-on-one once he touches the ball. And I'm assuming part of the plan is to try to get somebody else taking some of the load off of him because he's no longer any kind of secret.
Well, you got to get the ball to him, and then you've got to play off him. And, I thought that the Iowa game, he did not do a very good job of adjusting to what they were doing. He was spinning too much. Guys were, coming on the dribble. Obviously, 8 turnovers is not great. But he certainly is improving. We work hard with him, and I think he trusts us, which has been fun to see. He's a great kid to coach. And I still think he's got so many things that he can get better at, and he's willing to learn. So, it's we the defense. We got to get it into them, and then we got to see what they're going to do, and we got to space the court properly.
Yeah, the other part of it, though, Richard, you know, you watch any team in the Big Ten in the non-conference, you try to draw some things from it, and sometimes you see big matchups, blah, blah. When you get to the Big Ten, the game just changes so much because of the scouting and the intensity of it. Can you explain that to players going in, if you haven't been through it before, how it changes in the conference play, or do they have to experience that?
Yeah, I think that you have to experience it somewhat. You know, I mean, we have seven new faces. I know I've mentioned it before, but I mean, that's a lot. That's some of the most in the country. And, you know, not only that, but we played three true road games and a neutral site game. So I know our record is not quite where we want it to be, but our fans have got to understand, stick with us. We'll get better. You know, we're young. We got a lot of new faces, and I didn't like the way that we certainly played at Iowa, but they got a lot of faces back from an NCAA tournament team, and we got, you know, surprised a little bit by that, you know, just the speed that they went with. You know, so I don't think we play Iowa again, but if they saw them again, I think the new guys would understand that. You know, so there's a physicality to the Big Ten that's a little bit different than the non-conference, and our guys have got to be able to respond on the court. And I think the biggest thing is you're going to make mistakes. You got to make the next right play, and we keep harping on that.
You know, Richard, I think everybody who watches the game understands that it's moving toward the three-point shot. But I think what sometimes people may not notice is the 6'10", 6'11 guys who routinely have become terrific at that outside shot. We saw Turo make a nice one in the game. When you're scouting high school kids, are you noticing even at that level the big kids have moved their game farther outside and can hurt you from anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about, you know, when we're recruiting, it's about guys getting to the NBA. And, you know, what can you do to help my son get an opportunity to play at the next level? And, you know, we took our team to the Wolves game Friday night, and everybody on the court can shoot. It's all about shot making. And the NBA wants to see guys, even if you're 6'10", 6'11", who can stretch the court, because that's the way the game's moving towards. So a guy like Daniel Oturo, I think, intrigues NBA people because he can make a three. And, it's very, very important that you can see today at 5:30, Caleb Wesson, you know, their big kid can make threes as well. So it's part of the game, and you got to be able to develop your bigs to do that, but also get them to understand that they have to be able to go down low and embrace that physicality as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost as if Jordan Murphy was just a little late to figuring that out, because when he was in high school, you could still be a traditional big man. It's changed that rapidly in the last few years. But when you recruit, is it different now, because you can literally go in? You know, there used to be just such a premium on everybody battling for the big guys, and then after that, you'd fill out your roster, but you had to have the big guys. Are you comfortable now when you're recruiting saying, hey, if we got eight good guards, I'm happy?
Yeah, I mean, you got to have balance. I think that you got to have guys that can really do a little bit of everything. I think what NBA people look at is, do you have the overall package and play the right way? And if you are small, are you tough? You know, like, undersized guards have been able to make in the NBA. I mean, Chris Paul is not huge by any means, but you better be tough. You better be a warrior. And if you can step out from three, well, they're going to take that away. Well, now can you go down low? So I think it's more than anything, it's just being overall well-rounded in every facet of what you're doing, because they're so good at the next level, and they're even so good at our level where they're going to take away what you're good at. Well, what's your counter, and how can you do that?
Richard, we want to wish you good luck, and we appreciate you coming on game day. For fans who haven't paid attention, sort of an unusual starting time tonight, 5:30 starting game against Ohio State. I'm sure it's a good seat still available if people want to get over and see this team in person.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's like I said, I think that, you know, it's the catch-22 of when you play a tough schedule. And certainly the team that I envisioned was an Amir Coffey as a senior and Eric Curry, you know, older, but that is what it is. But we've challenged our guys big time early. Stick with us, fans. I think these guys are going to get better and better.
Thanks, Richard. Good luck today.
Thank you.
And we'll lobby for a steak once Sid gets in. You know that.
All right. That's Richard Pitino. We'll be back to talk about the death of, I think it's fair to say, a local legend right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome back, Sports Huddle. The passing of legend Doug Woog, so many of us knew him. He was frequently on these airwaves over the years, of course, and he passed away at the age of 75, complications from Parkinson's disease. Mike Gensel was with him for a long time at the University of Minnesota, and of course, side by side, coaching with him. And last night, I had a chance to talk to you for a bit, Mike. And obviously, it was a downward spiral here the last month or so. But that's not what we'll celebrate going forward with the Wooger. Take me back. What do you remember about the first time you met Doug Woog?
Well, Mike, it goes back a while. I mean, I first started coaching in 1987, and you know, at that point when Kevin Harsel had called me and said, "Hey, I'd like to have you consider coaching," I guess I knew nothing about coaching as much as I played the game and was involved in the game and around the game. When it came to standing in front of a group of kids and trying to teach them the game, you know, I was in over my head, and I guess I have to thank, you know, Doug and Kevin Harsel as two of my best mentors in hockey. And Doug was, at that point, we had his older son Steve on our team, and got to know him at that point. And then I took over for Kevin when Kevin moved on, and coached Danny for a couple years with the Vulcan organization. And you know, at that point, like for me going in, I mean, Doug opened up the University of Minnesota program to me, come over and watch practice every day, come down to our coaches meetings, sit in with our group. And you know, I mean, he was so helpful, and got me involved and really kind of shaped my philosophies as a mentor in the game. So, and then he eventually hired me, you know, probably 5-6 years later to be on his staff for the last 5 years that he was the Gopher coach. And, you know, it was just a wonderful experience to be around a guy who was really sharp hockey-wise and, you know, even more than that, a better person and a guy who really cared about our family. And, you know, it was a neat experience to work with Doug.
I'm glad you used the term a better person, because I think that what a lot of people are doing is they reflect on maybe where they came to meet him over the years. Was it Doug Woog was kind of the least of his accomplishments of anybody I ever met, perhaps. An all-American, humble guy. Anybody could walk up to him and start a conversation. He'd ask them questions back. And people would walk away. And I said, "What do you think?" He said, "What a regular guy. What a normal guy. Is he always like that?" I said, "I've never seen him any other way." And I was glad the stories in the paper this morning caught that aspect, because I think that's how a lot of people are going to remember Doug.
There's no question. He was very, very appreciative of, you know, everybody. I mean, he took the time to talk to people. It didn't matter if it was anybody in the office or somebody on a charter plane or, you know, wherever it was. I mean, the guy was a legend as far as in the hockey camp business. I mean, families that year after year kept coming to his camp, but it wasn't just the experience for the kids. It was just having a chance to be around Doug. And, you know, Doug was just a wonderful guy and just somebody that, you know, was very easy to talk to. I think you look at Twitter and all the social media posts here the last, you know, 12 hours. I mean, Doug touched a lot of people's lives, and everybody thinks that Doug was, you know, a friend. He treated you as a friend, and he knew you a long time, whether he knew you for 5 minutes or, you know, 50 years. I mean, that's just Doug, and he just made you feel welcome and comfortable, and always put a smile on your face because he always had a smile on his face.
Yeah, I can remember being up at his cabin in Nisswa there, and he loved that place and his hockey camps there at Breezy Point. And I remember early on in my career, one of the first years, the first time I met him, he said, "Well, what do you think of our style and the way we play?" And I'm thinking, I'm a basketball player from Gaylord. I got no idea what style you're supposed to be playing. I said, "Looks fine to me, coach." But I remember thinking, "Holy cow, I've never had no coach ask you what you," but when you went into the office, I used to go in there often when you and Wardo and he were there, and we'd start a conversation about hockey, and pretty soon we were talking about the Vikings and hunting and up north and all that stuff. And that he was about as Minnesotan as it gets.
There's no question. I mean, you think of some of the legends. I mean, I read the stories about Grant. I mean, Doug Woog's in that conversation. I mean, they knew everything about a lot of things, and they took the time to be able to be educated in a lot of different areas. But he just was an all-around sportsman. He enjoyed different areas of sports, you know, just people's backgrounds. I mean, I can't say enough about Doug. I mean, he just, the impact that he made on my life, and, you know, whether it was professional or personal, I mean, just was a really good guy. I mean, I remember the first time I tried to get the job at the university, he hired Mark Mazzolini, and, you know, it was as hard for Doug to tell me no as it was for me to hear that I wasn't going to get the job, but that's just the kind of guy he was. And but he just was a really good coach. Doug's record at the university would be hard to match. I mean, taking the team to the Frozen Fours he did, and unfortunately, people remember that, you know, win the last game, but boy, the success he had there. Any coach in college hockey would duplicate that or take that in a heartbeat. But just a really good guy that knew the game. And, you know, he, like when you're talking about style and system, Maxie, I mean, he came from that Olympic program in 84 and brought a lot of that philosophy into the Gopher program, and it worked. And, you know, kids played and prospered because of Doug's experience and teaching and coaching. And, you know, we had a good staff there with Bill Butters and other guys. I mean, it was just a really good time for people to want to play for Gopher hockey.
You know, one other word I think of in conjunction with Doug is loyalty. Get him talking about Minnesota hockey players, and he truly believed
that
you could win with Minnesota hockey players. But his loyalty to Minnesota might have been second to his loyalty to South St. Paul. If you wanted to get a smile on his face, start talking about South St. Paul hockey, South St. Paul anything. And it's fun in this day and age to see people who achieved a high level of success but never really got very far away from their roots.
No, it's a great point, Dave. I mean, he, I know I went a couple years ago when they renamed the rink down at Lakota for the Doug Luger Rink. I mean, that was a big deal, and it tells you the impact Doug had on that program. I mean, he just, that flying the flag for all Minnesota guys, I mean, he believed hard in that. I mean, when Mariucci had, you know, was strong with that adamant, I mean, Doug was right there to back it, and, you know, he did it the right way with the Minnesota kids, and he gave a lot of kids an opportunity, and a lot of kids had a lot of experience or success there because Doug believed in them, giving the Minnesota kids a chance, and a lot of people should be grateful for that. And, you know, that's the thing where you go back now, you still see people that are a little disappointed that it isn't all Minnesota kids, but Doug believed in it, and he was proud of it, and that's something you'll always be remembered for too.
Yeah, and you know, you forget this, but he was, I believe, coaching the Vulcans and still teaching at South St. Paul High School, and some of those stories are fairly legendary when you talk to him about, you know, getting back from a Vulcan game at 3 a.m. from Omaha or whatever, and then getting up at 6 and going to and teaching at South St. Paul.
Yeah, that's Doug. I mean, the Vulcan program, I mean, and you talk about his coaching philosophy, at that time the Vulcans were, you know, the toughest team in hockey, and Doug was coaching those guys, and then, you know, come from the Olympic program and change his philosophy into a highly skilled motion offense type of game. And but he just, you know, that's Doug. I mean, he's a hard worker, and you know, he wasn't the first choice, I think, of Paul Gill to get that job, but he was the best choice when it all was said and done. And you know, that I think he was very proud of the opportunity and the chance to be a Minnesota guy coaching there, and, you know, who played there and stuff. So there's just a lot of history there with Doug, and that was the neat thing with him.
The term pride has come up a couple times in the last couple of minutes. You've got to have some pride going right now. Your son is off to a great start. 36 points in 33 games. Talk about his play this year and how much fun it is to see how well he's doing.
Well, you know what it is, Dave. I appreciate the thought and the kind words. Jake's playing well, and it's fun. You know, I wish I could see him play more, but, you know, he's doing well. I mean, they've had a rash of injuries, and it's been a tough year this year from that standpoint, but it's given him a chance to kind of step forward a little bit and step out of the shadows of a few players and, you know, kind of carve his own niche. And he's been able to do a good job. And, you know, it's such a long season, but things are going well right now. They've had a good start, despite the fact they've probably lost more man games than anybody else. But it's really fun. I mean, you never expect when you have sons, you think about a dream of playing in the NHL. But for him to have that opportunity, it's really special and neat, and couldn't be prouder of him.
Yeah, and to do it, I mean, he got a big contract, and he's still the same guy, and he keeps on grinding it out and doing all those things. He certainly hasn't forgotten what got him there.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, he's got a focus and an intensity about him, and he just goes about his business. I mean, he's a young kid at heart that just loves the game, and, you know, he shows up and battles, and you know, it's just neat that at his size he's able to withstand the rigors and the intensity of the game and battle in the tough areas, and he does a good job. I mean, it's just it's a lot of compliments in the business about how he's playing and, you know, the kind of player he is and the kind of person he is, and that's you know, my wife and I are proud of him from that standpoint. I think he's done a good job.
Gents, appreciate it very much. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, fellas. Thank you very much.
Mike Gensel, nice enough to reflect on the lifetime. Doug, I want to add one more. Rayburn Hitchcock passed away. He's another famous guy on the east side there. If you know, he ran as the father of Ray Hitchcock, and Ed Hitchcock was an All-American at Hamlin. And he practiced law till he was 86, and pancreatic cancer claimed him. last week, but he was a staple and practice, went into the office every day and was just as nice a guy as you would ever meet, just like his sons. And so our thoughts and prayers go out to that family as well from the east side of St. Paul. Back with plenty more. Mike Max, Dave Mona, Sid Hartman coming soon in the Sports Huddle. Mash Sports Huddle, Mike Mash, Dave Mona, Sid Hartman to come. Mike Nowakowski runs Ticket King. It's always fun to check in with him from time to time and the temperature, the demand on local teams, and he joins us now. Mike, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Let's start with bowl games. The Gophers playing in Auburn, lots of packages, blah, blah, blah. Are bowl game tickets some of the easiest to get, or where do they rank?
Yeah, I mean, every year that they add a new bowl, it makes the rest of them less is profitable. And then, you know, before they had the playoff system where it was just a national championship, and then, you know, you could argue the Rose Bowl was kind of the second most popular. They were very expensive. It was almost like a Super Bowl situation for the national championship.
Mike, Dave Mona here. The Packer Viking game. I had two emails during the week, somebody looking for two tickets, somebody looking for four. I'm glad they weren't looking for 16 because they've been a little hard to find. But, man, there seems to be at least tremendous interest in this game. I don't know. I mean, both teams still where they are in the standings, everybody in a good holiday mood, but I don't know. It could be like every other year, but it just seems like a little bit bigger this year.
It really is. You know, I know, a lower level end zone at one point last week was worth $500.
Lower level end zone?
Yeah, I've never seen it get to that level before for this game. You know, the Viking-Packer game is always a big deal, but for some reason this year, it's just a little bit bigger.
Well, you know, Mike, they played on Christmas Eve Day a few years ago. Well, it was more than a few years ago because Brett Favre was a quarterback for the Packers. It goes quick, Dave. but you know, a lot of people said, how can they do it? And of course, they sold out, and it was raucous. Well, do the holidays help or hinder something like that?
It depends on how many events are going on. Like, generally speaking, anything between like Christmas and January 2nd is a big deal. Any event, you know, people are in town, people are looking for stuff to do. They're sick of, you know, talking to Uncle Larry at the table.
The Uncle Larry effect, yeah.
So it generally helps.
Yeah. Mike, you're breaking up a little bit there. I don't want to ask you to give away the secrets of your trade, but you go online and you want to buy airline tickets. You can find 150 sites that will tell you the best time to buy tickets. Buy them early, buy them 2 months out, buy them Tuesday night, wait till the last minute. How about buying tickets through a company like yours? Any tips you can give ticket buyers?
I would say the most important thing is to, when you're buying a ticket, there's a lot of sites out there where they'll show the ticket at $50, but by the time you check out, so you know, be careful. Try to find a site that doesn't charge service fees. Generally speaking, events go down in price, but you know, that's not to say they all do. You know, some do the exact opposite.
Michael, you're breaking up on us. We'll let you go because we got the gist of it. And just suffice to say that we may be in touch with you next week for a few Packer tickets.
All right, cool.
No service fees, please.
Yeah, right.
Mike Nowakowski from Ticket King, nice enough to join us. And I think, Dave, some people don't really, you know, when you get in the bowl season, I think people picture this packed stadium. Well, it's a lot harder to get a Big Ten ticket than it is a bowl ticket.
Yeah, Rose Bowl, yeah, that's a packed stadium. But almost most of the other bowls, there are always going to be seats. And you're right, if you watch and there's certain television angles, you'll see significant sections of the end zone that, you know, that are in, sometimes not even the end zone, that are open. The trick there is that schools get an allocation and they need to sell their allocation. Gophers apparently doing pretty well. The last I heard, they'd sold 3/4 of their allocation. But there are other sources through which to buy bowl tickets. I haven't seen much come down, though, in the way of what they're asking for the the Gophers Auburn game. Those tickets, either through the Gophers or on the secondary market, hovering around $80 for the cheapest ticket.
And what? And is Auburn sell? Are they expected to sell theirs out automatically because they're football power in the South? I don't even.
And
then
people will drive over.
Yeah, I mean it's not that far, right?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We're going down for the game. It'll be interesting to see how many of the Minnesota people are coming north from Naples or flying in from the Twin Cities, because there are a tremendous number of Minnesotans on that west coast of Florida for whom Tampa's a pretty easy drive. And I think you're going to see a lot of those people. I know of probably a dozen of them already who have already made their plans and are driving up for the game.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because so many of those people that you know that go to Florida, they go some of them probably go like January 5th or so because they get through the holidays and that's when they go. And I wonder how many of them will move that up to get down to their condo a little bit earlier and go see the game.
I think the answer to that is quite a few that this year. It's an easy place to get to. Orlando wouldn't have been that tough.
No.
Orlando's pretty easy from the Naples area. But you just drive straight up the coast to get there to Tampa. And so there'll be some spend a night. Some are driving up day of game, although the early game is going to make that a little tougher.
Yeah, and that big bridge in Tampa and that ocean. Let me tell you, you're living pretty large down there if you're down there in January and you're in Tampa. And we had Steve Urban on the other day, and of course he's got his deals put. He has two planes full already. But he was down. Steve was nice enough, believe it or not, to do a site check. So he went down early this week just to make sure. Just to make sure that everything was as he needed it to be, Dave. So I thought that was great of him. But he said there was a little problem with the humidity at 78 degrees.
Yeah, you know, we've traveled with the Urbans, and that is fun. Steve and Dorothy do such a great job. And then there's a package through the Alumni Association and the Athletic Department. I think all those packages are doing relatively well. Auburn is an interesting opponent for the Gophers. It's somebody the Gophers have never played. And you and I were talking when we were off mic a little earlier. You know, sometimes the Gophers get these teams at the right time, and there's a great trivia question. You know, who's a Big Ten team who in consecutive bowl games beat Oregon, Alabama, and Arkansas? And the answer to that was the Gophers, because they got mostly the Music City Bowl, but they got them at the right time. I don't know if this is the right time to get Auburn. Auburn looked pretty good when they played Alabama. But it's an interesting game. It's a helmet school that we don't play ever.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. I mean, I spent a morning with Tanner Morgan the other day. Did a long interview with him. It's going to be on TV tonight. He's an interesting young man, you know. And talking about how last year, people forget this because he seems like he's been on the scene for a bit. He was the backup quarterback, and how that was his lesson in life that he was worshiping football too much, and what was football getting for him was an empty, you know. And just think about this: you're the backup quarterback to another freshman. So there's in your mind, you're thinking, this might not ever go my way, you know?
That's right.
Do I need to look at transfer? What do I need to do? And now he's the face of the program.
Yeah, this is kind of an odd segue. We got to take a break here in about a minute and a half. But speaking about Tanner Morgan, you think of Zach Anixted, and very quietly yesterday, the Gophers picked up a commitment from a linebacker out of IMG Academy. So a year went by without anybody after they got the three guys from IMG Academy. All of a sudden, this guy is one of the highest-rated linebackers in the country, and yesterday he committed. And I think there will be one or two more surprise commits before the signing period. By the way, P.J. Fleck will not be on with us this morning. He's meeting with recruits all morning, and this is
signing day is the 18th.
Yeah, I mean, this is when they're doing their deals.
Yeah.
So, but it was interesting. Broke yesterday. IMG Academy. A lot of people have been watching that one, and all of a sudden, the Gophers get a linebacker out of there.
I went down to IMG Academy a few years ago when Chris Wenke was running the football program there, and I toured the campus, and it is it's kind of hard to explain because what it is a bunch of dorms and school and facilities. For people that want to specialize in sports and get their education, but you're going back and forth between practice and education. And there's all kinds of little interesting, for example, it's hard for them to get enough linemen, you know, because everybody wants to develop as a quarterback or a running back. So they got to figure out how to get linemen to get there, and they recruit internationally. In baseball, it's hard for them to get enough pitchers because you want all these games going on, and you got to have all these arms, so that they'd give like a discount to pitchers. And then, of course, the Tennis Academy is famous there. But they built all these things up there, and IMG is a great big marketing arm for people not familiar with it. And that's what you do is you focus on that sport in school, and you basically go back and forth all day with some of the best trainers that are available to you.
When that piece ran, I was late to getting in, and I saw, I don't know, it was an aerial shot, or it was a distant shot. I didn't know where you were. And I see this campus, and I go, this is an interesting story. I wonder where Maxie is. Well, you were it's a high school level, but the look and feel of the place is unbelievable.
Yeah, and they're in Bradenton there, but if you want to see something watch IMG basketball. Because you know how that, I mean, they didn't beat De La Salle a few years. De La Salle had a great team, like three Division I players, and they beat them by about 60 points. I mean, they get, you know, and like I said, they're international in their arms, so they can bring in the big guy
Faalele comes in from Australia.
And those are perfect for them.
Sure.
A guy that's a rugby player overseas doesn't know where to go to be if he wants to be a football player, so they bring him over to the IMG and they say, we'll work it from here.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, 6'9", 400 pounds, you want to come to the United States to play high school football, it's either IMG or Eden Prairie.
Yeah, exactly.
Take a break here, come back, talk some more sports right after this. You're listening to Sports Huddle temporarily with just Dave and Mike Sid on his way in. Mike, we got about 6 minutes here where we're unscripted, so let's talk about a variety of things. Let's start with the Bears-Packers game today. The reason we're off at 11:30 is the station is picking up the pregame, and then we'll have the live coverage. In my mind, not hard to know who the good guys and the bad guys are here if you're a Viking fan.
Yeah, because if the Bears give you a chance to win the division, yeah. Yet, if you can run the table and without you lose the tiebreaker, so you're two back, all that stuff for, if you're the Vikings. So interesting because the Bears have been playing a little bit better of late. But the other
quite
thing
a bit
is
better,
interesting is that you know last year, at the end of last year, and this is the NFL. I thought, boy, there's the team to beat for the next few years, the Chicago Bears, right? They got it figured out. They got a defense. They made the right trade. They got the sign. Trubisky's coming into his own. And not that they've been bad this year, but they haven't been dominant. And they certainly accept, you know, they dominated the Vikings, but they certainly look like there's a lot of kinks in that armor.
And the Packers are not unbeatable. I think this game today is going to be really interesting to watch. And then, of course, you got the Viking game on right after that, 3:30 start from the West Coast. Chargers are a tough team to predict. That game opened with the Vikings, a one-point favorite. Odds rarely say the same through the week. It's for seventh, I think, straight days they remained a one-point favorite.
Yeah, and obviously you think of Philip Rivers there as the face of the Chargers for good reason. But the Vikings, in talking to players and whatnot, are more concerned about how well they run on defense. They think that they can give them some trouble. And then the third factor always is the outdoors on grass for the Vikings. It's almost uncanny, you know, how poorly they play.
Then add the West Coast.
Add the West Coast in there. Yep, yeah. The Rams last year was not good. Of course, the Rams were a great team, but they blew the Vikings out and really changed the season in a lot of respects for both teams last year when they did that to the Vikings. So I still like the Vikings. The feeling that I got was that they are they've had a lot of good things happen over the last couple of weeks in terms of preparation. And I think the biggest thing is I was teasing Eric Sugarman out there the other day. They don't have any injuries on defense, hardly.
Yeah.
I mean, Linval Joseph's missed a little bit. Gedeon, who they like, has missed a little bit. Anthony Harris has missed a little bit. You get to December and you got most of your defense intact and have played together. And there are veterans like Kendricks and Barr and, you know, talking to Kendricks this week too. He's just thrilled because he's a UCLA guy, him and Barr to go back home and play this game. But, that is, if you're going to play a chess match with Rivers and then Aaron Rodgers, and you got a defense that knows each other and is connected, that makes a big difference. Not to transition in again, but that's the opposite of what the Timberwolves look like on defense.
Yeah, we'll take that. I was just saying, I won a Viking line. Do you think there was any regret the Vikings tried to bring Thielen back early and then lost him for a couple more games? Apparently, he's good to go this week.
Yep, I think that was a big regret because I think maybe they let him talk himself onto the field a little bit. And you know, they always talk about nobody's going to go until they're ready. And with a hamstring injury, you don't know if you're ready until you really turn it loose. And he did, and it set him back. And so I was talking to Ryan Hogue the other day, of course, played in the NFL, and he says, I had a hamstring injury. And he says, the problem isn't just getting it healthy. It's that your mind is going, do I dare try to go one more step here? And he said, that's the process that takes a long time is going, do I dare try to turn it loose right here? Because you're constantly questioning yourself. But if Thielen is healthy, wow, do they have weapons. Now, Alexander Mattison didn't practice this week. That's significant to me because Delvin Cook is A, susceptible to injury, and B, Madison's been a really good changeup back for him.
You know, we saw an alternative to Madison last week. Nobody really knew what was going on the sidelines, why Madison wasn't in it. We thought, well, that's nice. They're trying some extra players. They got a running back that I thought played very well in the second half of that game last week.
Yeah, Abdullah and Boone sit out there. Boone's been with the team long enough that he knows what's going on. He just hasn't had that many opportunities because Madison came in, but they've always liked him. He made his team made his name on special teams, but he played at Cincinnati and, you know, he played well in preseason and all those things. Abdullah, they kind of have their own package for when they want to throw to him, when they want to do things with him. They just don't want to overuse him because they think he's not durable like the others are.
All right. You brought up the Timberwolves. Where do you begin? They almost had a phenomenal comeback win, but you're saying almost. I mean,
yeah,
they're on a dangerous
before, right?
losing streak.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I mean, they've lost in a variety of ways.
Yeah.
at least they've been in, you know, the Oklahoma City the other night, they came back. But when you watch what like the Lakers did to them last week, which was fun to watch just because basketball is fun, because Anthony Davis was so good and so was LeBron James. But you see a couple of these and now, Ryan Saunders has to bring that team into the locker room, and he's got to go one-on-one, and he's got to have those difficult conversations. I don't think he was planning on that this early in his tenure. This idea that, you know, Towns has given him everything that he's got, but can he lead? Can he take this team and get them to rally around something? I don't see it. Teague's up and down. He looks like he's trying to play hard now. He missed the first few games of the season. You don't quite know what you're going to get. And then somebody pointed out to me that Wiggins is a key to this team, and he certainly played well overall this year, but now teams have picked up on what he's trying to do. And so the teams have fired a counterpunch against this team, and the Wolves don't know how to respond.
We brought this up a little bit last week, and I certainly never saw this one coming. I think they missed Jake Lehman way, way more than anybody had a right to expect. I mean, he played so well when he was playing. He got hurt. We heard it was a foot injury, and you're thinking, well, 2-3 games maybe. I think his loss has been a big one because he also plays good defense.
Yep, but in fairness to that, I mean, Memphis comes in without their best player.
Yeah.
Into Minnesota, you know, when they're not even playing well. And Oklahoma City is missing a couple guys. I mean, they have I don't know where they go from here because the only good thing they've got now is they got the Pelicans without Zion, right?
Right.
On Wednesday night, and you've had plenty of time to prepare to try to snap that streak. But I think this is more than a little bit concerning for Gerson Rosas.
Yeah, they're off the next 3 days, and then, as you said, they've got New Orleans here. That's on Wednesday night, and then they go out to Denver, and then from Denver to Portland. So they got back-to-back games going out to the West Coast. That's never easy.
Nope, and Denver looks like they're starting to find their mojo.
Yep.
And the only other good thing that they have going for them is there are a lot of bad teams in the NBA this year, man. There is a line of demarcation, and it is – I mean, it looks like a lot of teams are planning for the lottery, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I thought Memphis was one of them. And when Memphis comes up,
I'm
not their best players. Well, here at least the Timberwolves have a chance to shine. And they just, you know, there are those lapses when they don't play defense for 6-7 minutes and they take a game when they're up 4 and then all of a sudden they're down 14.
We should add, we were going to, Hugh McCutcheon we've been in contact with, but he's in an airplane, unfortunately, so we can't get him on. But Gopher volleyball team is going to, a year later than they probably wanted, but they'll take it any time. And they went down, and Louisville upsets Texas and everything. Sometimes things fall your way, sometimes they don't. The Gophers are going to the Final Four.
Yeah, Louisville was a Cinderella team until they ran into the Gophers,
yep.
and then they lost a slipper. But the Gophers looked really good. If the people didn't watch it, they won in 3 sets last night going into the Final Four, back to the Final Four, and Big Ten is looking really, really tough.
Yeah, oh boy, my gosh, you come out of the Big Ten, you got a chance to go to the Final Four if you just finish in the top four of the Big Ten.
All right, Sid has joined us. I just want to tease, no P.J. Fleck that he's recruiting. Janome Carville will join us at 11:05. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.